right. Good morning, everyone, or afternoon, depending what time you listen to this. This is Brett Henderson, another exciting episode of the Veteran Entrepreneur Masterclass. I am excited to have our guest today, Marine, another crayon eater, knuckle dragger, Mark Rodriguez. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Doing okay. So I appreciate you and I connecting. Literally, I'm following up with my connections on LinkedIn, and I'm doing this crazy thing called picking up the phone, right? And I actually called you. There's only so much time in the day. And so you and I, you're the first person I called, the first person I connected with, and boom, like, it's a great conversation. I'm like, I need to have you on the podcast. So thanks so much for being here.
No problem. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. So first thing I ask everyone before we go into detail with you is, are you a client of mine?
No, I am not.
Okay. So just make sure it's unbiased. You and I are just two guys having a conversation. We did meet on LinkedIn.
We did. You That's reached out to me via LinkedIn, and I responded back like I normally do, especially when it deals with veterans, because I love connections. And then we connected from there, and we're two peas in a pot.
Yeah, man. Well, give me a little background about your military experience, please.
Okay. I went in 1996, retired in 2017. I was a 3381 food service was my MOS. Graduated boot camp in MCRD San Diego. I was stationed mostly on the West Coast. Did multiple tours to Okinawa, went to Iraq. I was attached to every piece of the MAGTF, the Marine Air Ground Task Force. So any one unit, I've been to all of them. So whether it was logistics, aviation, infantry, or even the headquarters element, I've been a part of. I was also a drill instructor, and I was also a Staff and CO Academy instructor. I was real big into physical fitness. So Marine Corps Martial Arts Program, I was a second degree instructor trainer. And a partner in a pear tree.
Right. I think I remember vaguely. I think on my last pair of camis, which are still hanging in my closet, I was green or gray. What was the first, what is the belt levels? It's been 20 plus years for me.
Tan, gray, green, brown, and black.
I think I made it up to the second one. Tan green, I think I made it up to gray. Because it was just gray. Like a regular belt, like it's just not a big deal. It just wasn't your normal belt. It was just like, this is a regular one from like an Alice pack back in the day or something like that.
So, yeah.
All right, cool, man. I remember that. So 16. So is that whole program evolved? Actually, I'm just curious about that. So give some background, because when I first joined, it was line training.
Yeah.
Right.
So old school line training. Close combat training as well. Yeah. So it evolved in, I believe, 2000 into the Marine Corps Martial Arts Program. And I remember having a individual that was in my shop, in my mess hall in Hawaii. I was with 3-3. The individual had a green belt with a tan tab. And I was like, what's that? And he explained to me that I'm a martial arts instructor with the Marine Corps Martial Arts Program. I said, that's pretty cool. Yeah. At the time we hadn't transitioned yet. So I still had a web belt. You know, so I'm sitting there and I'm like, I want one of those. So 2004, June of 04, I'm really good with dates, by the way. So June of 04, I went to the Marine Corps Martial Arts Instructor Program, the MCMAP Martial Arts Instructor Program, and came out with a tan tab. And now as a Sergeant of Marines, I was able to now instruct people because the command wanted us to get everybody up to gray belt. So I started doing instruction plus doing my primary job as well. And that's kind of where I got the love for doing like additional billets and additional like things to like kind of, you know, make me grow, putting my hands in all types of different things instead of just being a cook and, okay, this is all I do. I was like, let me branch out to the whole Marine concept. Now, there's a reason why I'm telling you this, because it'll lead into where I'm at today.
Go for it, man.
But I was really big on like, oh, swim? Let's try it. So I went out for McQuist. Didn't make it, but I definitely tried out for it.
Okay.
And I was a WSQ, so I was the highest swim qual next to being an instructor. But anything that dealt with physical, I was like, let's go. I'm all for it. So essentially that made me, you know, want to become a drill instructor as well, because I was like, this is the top tier of, you know, of the Marine Corps in my eyes. You know, it was like, man, this is the elite of the elite. And awesome. So I needed to, you know, jump on that. Once I did, I realized I was in a class that I, you know, after being a drill instructor, you realize that you're looked at as a really high regard when you get back into the fleet, and you need to, you know, maintain that. But then also with this, which is a lot of the time, a lot of people have a problem with. They're good at yelling and they're good at like keeping the mold of what is here, but the education on all aspects, including publications, including, you know, orders, is where people tend to kind of scale back. And that's where I actually pushed myself. So the Staff and SEAL Academy really taught me a lot, because I was a food service Marine teaching all different levels of professional military education to all different MOSs. And you had to be on top of your game. And yeah, if you didn't know your stuff, you a staff sergeant, because I taught the staff sergeants, I taught E6s. They'll call you out in a heartbeat if you don't know what you're talking about.
And what was your rank at the time?
I was a gunny. I was a gunnery sergeant.
Okay.
So, okay. Yeah, I retired as a gunnery sergeant. I retired in 2017. I was gunny for almost 7 years, time and grade.
Awesome.
So I had some tenure as an E7.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Well, Gunny, thanks for having you here.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. I love it.
So with that, you awesome career, 20 plus years, and then you got out. What were you thinking, or did you kind of pick the timeline to get out? Was it like enough's enough as a gunny for 7 years? And
let's just say now, to caveat off of what I just said, I was very cocky because I knew a lot, and I know a lot of people didn't know as much as me, and my mouth got me into a lot of trouble. So I pissed off all the wrong people, and I didn't get promoted. You know, they didn't select me to Mass Sergeant. And that second time that I was up for promotion, you know, my name wasn't on the list, and they told me, you got 7 months to get out. And at this point, I'm you know, nearing 21 years. You know, I couldn't reenlist because due to service limitations as an E7, you know, you have up to 22 years. So I was like, okay, so 7 months to figure out what I was going to do next with my life, considering I've known the Marine Corps from 17 to 38 at that time. Definitely hit me like a baseball bat over the head, and I had to figure things out. So that's it was an abrupt, but I ended up, you know, retirement ceremony was June 9th of 2017, and my EAS was July 31st of 2017.
Nice. So with that, did you know what you wanted to do when you got out? You had 7 months kind of figure it out. How was that experience?
It was scary. Not only was it scary, but it was a very real fear of the unknown. My wife, who is a retired first sergeant, she was actually a first sergeant during the time that I, you know, was getting out. She retired with 22 years in 2019. But when I got out, I mean, I was like, okay, what am I going to do now? But I'm not going to lie. At least I had, my wife was making money, and, you know, she was still active duty. And I was like, okay, what am I going to do here? So I had a buddy of mine who was not military. And he actually told me, he said, hey, you know, I teach at a personal training school in San Diego. And I said, okay, well, it doesn't sound too bad. I mean, I'm all into fitness, which is kind of why I was talking about all the things that I was involved in the Marine Corps.
Right.
And I said, all right, well, I think fitness is probably the best bet for me. So I ended up going to his school while I was still active duty. I used tuition assistance, and actually the tuition assistance turned into the post 9/11 GI Bill, but I was able to utilize it while I was active duty.
Awesome.
Because, you know, so I utilized partial of my post 9/11 during that time. So I went to the school, got my NASM, National Academy of Sports Medicine, certification for a certified personal trainer. That was what I was like, okay, well, I guess this is what, I ain't gonna lie to you, Brett. I'll be honest with you. I was disgruntled. I was mad. I was lost, which made me even more mad. And I got out. June 9th was my retirement ceremony. I grew my hair out like this massive fro, put in corn rolls, grew my beard out. Like it was just down to here, just completely unkept. And I had an attitude. And I was like drinking at 9 o'clock in the morning, every morning. I'd wake up, go to the gym, work out, come home, pop a Corona open. And, you know, that was my life for, you know, most of June and most of July. One day my wife said to me, she said, hey, you know, I'm concerned about you. I come home, you're on the same place that you were at when I left. And I was like, yeah, there ain't nothing for me to do, you know? So yeah, I was lost and I was mad, you know, gave my all to the Marine Corps. I mean, as you can tell with my resume, every single thing I did was to give back to the institution and to, you know, train junior Marines and, you know, and to uphold the standard and to, you know, all the good jazz, you know, drink Kool-Aid.
Right. And, so when was that transition? Yeah, you gave it all and they you feel fucked, right? That's the bottom line. You feel fucked, like they fucked me,
Absolutely.
right? That's the F bomb I just dropped on my own podcast, but you feel that's what the system's doing, right?
Yep.
And how do you go from that I'm a victim mentality to this is my life, I own it, every day is my own. I choose to do something, I choose not to do something. I choose to get up, I choose to brush my teeth, I choose to shave, I choose not to. Like choice, 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 yours, yours, yours. Life, life, life is all yours. Every choice is yours. When or what happened when you're in that phase, the woe is me phase? And luckily, your wife's a first sergeant. She should be kicking your butt a little bit, right? Like, my God, So
Well,
talk me through that.
with the whole unkept thing, how that lasted, when I put the corn rolls in, she looked at me and was like, "I'm not going anywhere with you looking like that." And it was during the ball season. So we're talking from June when I retired, I had already started growing my hair out, to November where ball season was. And she's like, "You're not coming to my ball looking like that." I was like, "All right, well, fine."
Fun while it
So
lasted.
yeah, so I cut my beard down to like where it's at right now, you know, it's nice and short. And then I, got my hair cut and shaved my head off and got a nice clean cut, back to clean cut me again. But that was one piece. The other piece is, I had children. My kids are all adults right now. So I have 26, 24, 23, and 18.
Wow.
And so they all kind of have a Not, I'm not gonna say a perception, but they have a like a visual representation of what I am to them, and what I was at that moment was completely different than what I was to them before. I was always that Marine, that hard-nosed, disciplined, structure, very OCD on a lot of things, and just so to see me kind of being, lackadaisical, unkept, not caring about my appearance, it was odd for them. And they were just like, "What's going on with Dad?" I happened to, funny story, I'll keep it short, I swear.
It's all good.
Went out to dinner with my wife one night, was at a restaurant that turned into a nightclub in Temecula, California. And I was like, "Okay, I need to go because I hate being around, just that life." So we went to leave, and a buddy of mine was actually walking in, but they wouldn't let him in because he didn't have a collared shirt on. So I gave him my collared shirt. I had a tank top underneath, and I said, "Here, take that. You can go in and have a good time. I'm going home." And he is like, "Wow, thanks, man. I'll get it back to you." I said, "No problem. Just whenever you want." I left, and about 2 weeks later, he calls me and he's like, "Hey, man, why don't you come to my gym? And I got your shirt." And I said, "Okay, cool." So I met him up at Self-Made Training Facility in Temecula. And I walked in to get my shirt. I looked, and they had just moved into this 18,000 square foot space, and everything was still in bubble wraps. And it was a bunch of, really buff people walking around, and just like, and I'm looking around, I'm like, "Wow, this is nice. What is this?" And they explained to me the concept. Derek Johnson, who is his trainer, said, "Oh, this is for independent contractor personal trainers. So we all run our business out of this facility. We actually pay the owner to run our business out of this facility, and we just moved here from a little spot in Marietta." I said, "Wow, that's a cool concept." So Derek said, "Let me get your number. I'll have the CEO reach out to you." I said, "Sure, whatever." And I gave him my number. 2 o'clock in the afternoon that afternoon, Miguel Aguilar, the CEO, called me, had about maybe a half an hour conversation, and that was where I signed the paperwork to be a trainer in Self-Made Training Facility. And I can go from there. So, but
No,
I'll,
well, let's before we move forward, I
yeah.
think you hit on something which I don't know if you've listened to any of the earlier podcast episodes. Hopefully you will. What we talk about and what we see and what I'm experiencing with a lot of the guests on the podcast is that transition, that time when you're getting out, when you've had a purpose, you've had a mission, you know what you're supposed to do, you know where you're supposed to eat, how you're supposed to dress, you know everything. It's just done for you to purr, it's gone. And it's all on you. And that whole structured environment's just gone. Right. And there is some training. You had 7 months to figure it out and get ready. Luckily, you have an amazing wife to keep you in line. I'm going to say that, right? But the issue, or not an issue, I think it's just a topic that needs to be discussed more, especially for all veterans getting out, is that transition period, the loss of purpose, or not having a purpose, or having a purpose, then what's my next purpose? And so I've chatted about this on several of my earlier episodes. There are other veteran groups where I join, they'll ask me to join and come speak. And they'll just be like, hey, what'd you do today? And our group's all about business and doing things and driving, making positive life, moving forward. And they're like, yeah, I just trying to get out of bed. Just this, just
And you know,
that.
here's the thing is that the Marine Corps, look, I loved my time in the Marine Corps. I'm not bitter. I'm not resentful. I look at it as a chapter of my life. It was a 21-year chapter, but it was a chapter. And I think that a lot of people don't realize that as you're in, because you get institutionalized. I was institutionalized. My wife was institutionalized. Even her, she watched me be retired for 2 years, but yet still had issues when she retired of finding her new purpose, of
Yes.
finding who she is outside of First Sergeant Rodriguez, or even me. You know, I couldn't get away from the gunny rod stigma. You know, Gunnery Sergeant Rodriguez was gunny rod to a lot of people. And, you know, I had a network that's ridiculous. So, like, anywhere I go, people were like, oh, gunny rod, you know? And I couldn't get away from that. And I was like, who the hell is Mark? Because I had no idea who Mark was without the Marine Corps. You know, and I think that that's a big problem that a lot of veterans that I've been retired almost 6 years now. And I've witnessed a lot of people have called me, you know, and they're like, Mark, how do you do it? You know, I own five businesses now. You know, it's like I have 45 trainers within my own self-made in Dallas. You know, so it's like they're like, how did you do it? How were you able to get past that transitional period? And I said, honestly, I had to drop the Marine Corps like a divorce. It was a great time. I learned a lot from it. But it's no longer. And I need to have a new relationship with my new career because I've already divorced. And it could be a clean divorce. Doesn't necessarily need to be a bad divorce, but it's a clean divorce. But I learned now I need to put all of my investment into my new relationship with my new career.
With your new self.
With my new self. Absolutely. So that's what I think a lot of people have. And actually not think. That's what I know a lot of people have a hard time with.
Heck yeah.
And what I always tell veterans is there was another thing, Brett, that I want
sure.
to share with you because
please.
I was a complete asshole. You know, I had the drill instructor freaking Marine Corps knife hand mentality, you know, and it got me nowhere. Yeah, did it make a lot of people, you know, disciplined and structured, and my units were always mission, you know, I always was on top of my game. Absolutely. But the problem was, is that I put so much emphasis into that I didn't even think that there was a day that the Marine Corps was going to end and I was going to have to move on without it. So when I looked at all these staff and COs that were going to college, I looked down at them. And my mentality was, if you're going to college, who's at the field day with the Marines? Who's taking the Marines on PT? Who's doing all the work that needs to be done? Who's here at 1800, 1900 at night while you guys are going to school at 1400? It used to piss me off. And I used to look down at them. But you know what? All those individuals that got their degrees and they had a smoother, I'm not going to say a better, but they had a smoother transition because they had already some ammunition with education to move into the civilian world, which on this side, education is imperative.
Huge.
If you don't have a college degree, you're behind the power curve in this side of the world. So as I was shunning these people and giving them shit because they were doing something better for themselves, I could have been doing the same. That's number one. Education is important. Any veteran that's watching this or any active duty member, get your damn education because it means something in this side of the world.
Knowledge is
power. I got my bachelor's degree at 42.
Congratulations, you know? By the way.
Thank
you did
you.
It.
I did because I realized how important it was, you know. And then the second piece that I would tell any active duty member that waited for the 1st and 15th for my paychecks, I did not educate myself financially. I had the worst financial literacy. Now, here's the thing. I owned a home. I've owned a home since 2009, you know, so I know what buying homes and selling homes is like. But when it came to investments, when it came to, you know, retirement savings and things like that, where was I putting my money? I was putting my money into drinking, into, you know, stuff that really didn't even matter. You know, so I would say those two pieces of advice for anybody watching this thing Financial literacy and education, preferably a college education, is the two things you should be as soon as you go active duty, those are the two things you should be really, keeping in mind, because the Marine Corps will end, whether 4, 8, 12, 16, 20, 24, 28, or 30, it's ending.
I completely agree. And even so, I'll provide a different perspective. So I just did four, right? Okay. And I was an officer. So as an officer, you have your degree, your undergrad degree, before you go in. And then while I was in Lejeune, Boston University flew professors down on the weekends from Boston down to Camp Lejeune. And I banged out my master's degree when I was still in as a brand new frocked captain. And because at the weekends, what do you have to do? I could go chase enlisted Marines' wives around, right? Because there's no single women around Camp Lejeune, which there's no upside there, or bang on education, right? So just like I had that realization, like I just needed to do it. And I'll share with you though. So since I got my master's back in 2002, so over 21 years ago now, and if you look at my name below, the designations after my name professionally, if you want to go in my world, you need licensing. I need licensing. So I got my Series 7. And then once you get your Series 7, it's a stock market or financial advisor license or registered representative license. You can buy and sell stocks for clients. And then you need your 66, which is another one you can do across state lines. And then your insurance license. And then, okay, so I have my licenses. I can do the basic amount. But then what's your dedication to your craft? How are you continuing to build your skill set? How are you moving forward? So I looked at my specialty, which I started turning into a 401k specialist to talk about investments. And I realized, okay, I'm doing it, but is there a way I could build my knowledge? So my first designation way down there, the CRPS, Chartered Retirement Plan, the heck is the S? Chartered Retirement Plan Services. I can't remember what the heck it stands for, but 401k and retirement stuff. So let me get that done. And then there was another one. Okay, well, how do you take it a little bit further? You could go the financial planning route and CFP, or I was more enjoying the investment side. So that's a CIMA, Certified Investment Management Analyst, which was offered by Wharton. And that was a almost 2-year program where you have to do one set, take a test at home, see if you qualify, hold another set of documents and time. And then you go to a week-long crash course and you're just there all day, every day in school. And then at night you're doing stuff for the next day and you're just crank, then you have a huge in-person exam. So that was the hardest designation. That's my CIMA. But that was back in 2008. But then you start looking, okay, so where is this going? And I look at myself and my own career. Oh, if I'm helping people with money, that's today. That's the 401k aspect, is building your wealth, building your assets and growing it. But what if something happens to you along the way? What if you have some sort of disabling event and you can't work? Well, I need to learn about disability insurance and what's happened once you actually degree or when you retire and have this money, your 401k, and you turn to an income stream. What if you have some sort of disabling event there? You have a heart attack, stroke, dementia. So start learning about long-term care and all these ways to protect your wealth, protect your assets that you've worked to build up. So for me, I then added or started looking at my next designation, which is the CLU, which is Chartered Life Underwriter, which is pretty much a master's degree in life insurance. And I can keep going. I don't want to monopolize, this is your podcast, but I'm sharing. The point I'm trying to make is you never stop learning. I think you should not ever stop learning. And actually, 3 or 4 of my designations I've gotten in the last 5 years of my professional career. So I've been doing what I'm doing now almost 20 years, and I'm continually looking, oh, there's a gap in my skill set. How do I close that gap? What do I need to do? Besides surrounding yourself with people smarter than you, which is the first thing to do. And I can share another story a little bit, but it's just continually learning, continue to build your skill set, and it never stops. So you're talking about getting on the Marine Corps, getting your undergrad degree. That's the first step. And then maybe you get some professional skills. And what do you do next? What do you do next? What do you do next? How do you keep pushing yourself?
I ended up getting 7 certifications with National Academy of Sports Medicine. So I'm a certified personal trainer, performance enhancement specialist, corrective exercise specialist, certified nutrition coach. I've done a weight loss specialist, fitness nutrition specialist. I also got ISSA. I have a certified personal trainer course, and I'm now an instructor I'm an instructor for ISSA as well. So now I can teach ISSA CPT. I'm an American Red Cross instructor. I can go on and on. I graduated Billy Gina's marketing's digital marketing course. So I'm a certified genius. I offer his program. I got that one. You're right. Continuing education. You just continue, continue, continue.
I'm glad you threw that in there. So let's transition to what you're doing now. So tell me about your current career and your current business. I know you have several businesses, but talk about your main business and just start there, please.
Okay. So like I said, I became a personal trainer, an independent contractor, business owner. I saw there was a lack of education for personal trainers on the business side. So I ended up becoming the director of education for Self-Made Training Facility Corporation. I slid into the acting VP spot there for a little while because the VP had resigned that was there. And then I decided to branch out, move to Dallas, Texas, and franchise Self-Made Training Facility. So I own the franchise here in Dallas, currently have 45 trainers. So that's one business. And then I have a second business, which is Manifest Fitness Institute, which is my school. So because I saw there was a lack of education on the business side when it came to personal training, I decided to build a whole school. And so now I'm partnered with ISSA, I'm partnered with TRX, I'm partnered with TrainerRise, I'm partnered with HyperRise, a couple other different companies. But we are, you know, building education.
When you saw a need, mm-hmm. this is a mindset. This is the entrepreneurial mindset. You saw a need, something wasn't there. You said, they didn't have education, so I built it. Talk me through that mindset for you when you saw or realized there was a need for something. Mm-hmm. And most of us, there's a need, whatever. And you just keep doing what you do. But you decide to take action about it. So talk me through that.
Okay. So 2019, I became an instructor at the said school that I went to get all my certifications. And I got fired. And the reason why I got fired was because they had madness. It was chaos. And I was trying to fix a lot of their processes. And their process, they didn't want me to expose, I guess, that they had all these problems. So they let me go. So I said, very well. So I noticed that the students that were in the classroom, they absolutely loved me and still keep in touch with me to this day. And this was 2019 because I was teaching from a standpoint of entrepreneurship. And what a lot of these schools, including colleges, and they want more like to send you to be like a personal trainer at a big box gym, like corporate gyms, like 24-hour LA Fitness, Crunch, those types of places. And they're making personal trainers are making minimum wage, and they're getting 60-80% of the commission of their training sessions taken from them by the business. You know, 60-80%, you're walking out with maybe $2 out of $10. I saw that disparity, number one. Number two is that when I went back to, you know, my facility in Temecula, there were some trainers that couldn't make it as independent contractors. And the reason being was because they weren't getting enough leads or they didn't know how to price their packages correctly or their options correctly. So they were charging a real low amount and then wasn't being able to sustain that.
Starving.
So what I started to see, there was a real disconnect with business development. You know, lead generation, lead nurturing, sales, fulfillment, retention. There was a big, big disconnect. So what I said was, let me build a whole school, one-stop shop. The other thing was, is that you have to go to all these different places to get certifications. Go here, go there, go here, go there. You know, I'm like, for what? Let's just put it all in one place. You know, so now I'm the one-stop shop for fitness education. So now you don't have to go anywhere. The other thing was, is NASM and ISSA both said 70%, 60 to 70% of their students who go online would rather have it in person because of the practical application portion.
Yep.
So I said, well, hey, I have 45 independent contractors that are in this building doing it. Some of them making up to $25,000 a month. Five of them, actually.
Well, plenty retirement plans, make introductions.
Right? And they're coming in here. Now they're teaching the new students about, and not only by teaching them through the book and through the business development, but they're showing them by example. Like, hey, I own my own business. So now I'm telling you how I made it happen, how I got leads, how I was able to price my packages and all that good jazz. So I saw the need, and that's how it all transpired. And I went to all the self-mades because there's 25 in 8 states. And I toured and I talked to all the trainers, all the franchise owners, and gained all this knowledge from where the hardships were, you know, and from being an independent contractor. And the large majority of it, I would say 85% of the problems was business systems and development.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. So for most entrepreneurs, you have a good skill. You're there. If
Yes.
you're an accountant, you have some sort of professional skill. You're construction, you're building stuff. If you're blue collar, white collar, myself, you're a financial advisor at a big firm. You have a skill set in one area and you think, ah, I can do it on my own. And the main difference is, okay, you've got your skill, which is you're a technician in one area, but that's just one piece of a business, right? That's the part that generates revenue. But to feed that revenue generating machine, you've got to have people to work with. You've got to have clients or customers to work with. You've got to have procedures in place. You need the whole business aspect. So that is a huge, huge area. If you don't understand the business aspect, you could be a master technician in anything and everything that you do. Doesn't mean you're going to be a successful person in
Which
business.
I have witnessed over and over and over and over again. I've witnessed some of the best personal trainers, some of the best fitness professionals you can imagine in this world, but they suck at business, you
And
know,
the
and and they do themselves such a disservice because I honestly, and people can disagree with me all you want, but I look at personal trainers as being just as important as first responders. And the reason being is because they are teaching, they are providing longevity of life. They are teaching health practices. They're teaching you to be healthier and to be more fit so you can live longer. You know, so why shouldn't a personal trainer be valued just as much as, and I love first responders. I love the military. I love what, because each one has their mission. But personal trainers have their mission too. Now, just like the military and just like first responders, you're gonna have the shitheads that make it bad for everybody.
that's anything.
Exactly. But at the end of the day, the people that are really, really putting their all and their heart and their passion into their jobs, into their careers as those particular entities, they deserve the utmost respect. Military veterans, first responders, they deserve the utmost respect. But personal trainers deserve the utmost respect as well, and they should be valued and compensated for their value as well. Take, for instance, somebody with a lagging injury that just continues to, and what they do, they go to big pharma and they start popping pills so that way it can take away the pain. When in all actuality, if you found yourself the right personal trainer who can show you mobility exercises, who can show you stretching exercises, and be able to strengthen the area that is, you know, potentially injured or strained, now you don't have to put out all that cost on medical to get all this, you know, prescriptions. You know,
I
let's
completely
take,
agree. Well, before you go there, let's go
sorry,
back.
sorry,
Well,
I get on a tangent. I
no, good.
apologize.
We're no, you're no sorry needed. This is good. We're having
Yeah.
a flowing conversation. It's not scripted, but let's talk about that though.
Yeah.
So the name of this podcast is the Veteran Entrepreneur Masterclass. Obviously, you have an entrepreneurial mindset. You're not afraid of taking risks. You're not afraid of challenges. You're not afraid of being uncomfortable, right? As an entrepreneur, you're stepping in something new and I'm building something that wasn't there before. You maybe have a vision of what the house should look like, but do I pick up a nail first, a hammer, a board, a piece of concrete? What do I do? And figuring that out is huge. However, it's not for everyone,
No, it's
right?
not.
So not
Yeah.
everyone can be a successful entrepreneur, and that's okay.
It
And like you
is.
said before, your trainers, some of your trainers are phenomenal trainers, but they don't have the business wherewithal. Well, fine. This is where it's coming together now. You can combine everything. Hey, I'm phenomenal. I am a master technician in whatever skill set I have. And I'm good here. And I don't have the business aspect. And maybe I don't want to have the business aspect. So then let me find someone who does, right? And is good in that area. So I can help them with their business by creating or bringing revenue or generating revenue for that business. They're providing the business background for me that I don't have. It's not a using relationship. It's a symbiotic. It's synergy. You know, 1 + 1 = 3. And that's okay. So I know the name of the podcast is the Veteran Entrepreneur Masterclass, but not everyone has to be an entrepreneur. Some people just want to do well and they want to have a good skill set and do good at that job.
Can I chime in on that particular note?
Please,
Because let
this
me
is
tell
why
you,
we're just
this is
flowing, dude.
I had a conversation with a gentleman who just got selected to Master Sergeant E8, and he had the carrot dangled. So he was already at retirement. He was about to retire. He put in his Appendix J to retire, and they dangled that E8 Massart. So he took it. Now he's got to give another 2, 3 years of his career. And I did the math for him. I said the average life insurance agent, because that's what he's actually wanting to get into, right? The average high-end life insurance agent makes about 30 grand a month. Okay. You as a Mass are gonna make around 8 grand a month. Okay. Those are numbers. You can't, don't lie. Don't ask me. Look at that national average, right? So you're essentially losing out on $22,000 for what? Now,
Comfort,
let's just say
comfort, comfort.
comfort. And because you've, because a lot of they can't understand that, you know, like they can actually transition to this. Now, here's the thing that I tell, especially Marines, right? My son's in the Air Force, by the way. He's been in 6 years. He's in the Air Force. He's
Congrats.
stationed off at Air Force Base. But even he is like, I'm going to do my 20 and then I'm done, because he's developing. He's already in college. He's developing a skill set that he knows, hey, when I retire, I'm just going to do what dad does, right? So I've told these a lot of Marines, 14 leadership traits, 11 leadership principles. Probably the most important transitional characteristic you can have. Because the civilian sector, a lot of people don't think like that. You know yourself and seek self-improvement. Keep your Marines informed. At this point, keep your team informed. You can trade out the names.
Yep. Leadership's leadership.
And leadership, initiative, you know, unselfishness, loyalty. You know, it's like you have skill sets and characteristics that have been ingrained in you since day one of your Marine Corps career, and you can capitalize so well in the civilian sector. The only difference is you can't talk to civilians as you did Marines. So you need to calm it down. But if you continue with those leadership traits and principles on this side of the house, you can make so much money. Even as an employee, you know, because my wife right now works for a company. She makes 130K out the door.
Nice.
And she's brand new. Like, I can't even tell you how much she's probably going to make here within a couple of years. But, I mean, she's killing it.
Right.
But she's only doing exactly what she did in the Marine Corps. It's no different. And she works from home, by the way. You know,
awesome.
How kind of great life is that, right?
Right. No, that's good. Well, you brought up a lot of good points there. So for the entrepreneurs, you see it, you've got a certain mindset. There are failures and you went through several yourself and you're that time of being lost. So kind of bringing all the points together here, you know, you got to have a purpose.
Yes.
And if you don't have a purpose, and I've said this before, your purpose is to find your purpose. I've said this multiple times now. And that's what we all have to do. Because if you don't, you're just existing, right? And if you're not growing, you're dying.
You know what the one thing that I take from my Marine Corps career that has transitioned for me and what my purpose is and what I found out later on, of course, it took a few years for me to really find out what my purpose is. My purpose is to do this right here, is to give back. My purpose, even when I was in the Marine Corps, I always wanted to give my Marines all the knowledge and experience I had so that way they can take my spot and become better. February 1st, I just promoted one of my Lance Corporals to Staff Sergeant. Right here at RS Dallas.
Okay.
He's a recruiter. Called me up and said, hey, still calls me Gunny. Hey, Gunny, can you come promote me? Because you're the reason why I'm still here.
Awesome.
Now, I've only talked to that Marine maybe two or three times since I retired in 2017. But the impact I left on him, because I was always trying to just like, here, take this, do it this way. Don't do it that way. Do it this way, and trust me, you'll prosper. And I realize in the civilian world, I'm doing the same thing now. Hey, personal trainers, do it this way. Trust me, it works. You know, and I found myself that's my purpose. My purpose is to make people better. I have a mission statement, and it's to whoever I come in contact with, to make them better personally or professionally in any way I can.
There you go. There you go. So how would you summarize that journey then? How would you summarize your mindset going from, you know, institutionalized Marine gunny? Okay, that day's over. That chapter's over. It's in the rearview mirror. It's part of my life. The ink is there. It'll always be there. It fades as we get older, right? Yeah, I've got ink too. And everyone's like, are you getting that removed? I'm like, no, but that's like part of me from the Marine Corps. That was 20 plus years ago. And it's fading. Like that part of my life is fading. And so I have my new life here and my new purpose now. So talk about just that mindset, kind of bring it all together, what you went through and guidance for any other veterans or civilians who are still trying to figure out what their purpose is, how important that is before they can do anything else.
What I tell everybody, dreams become visions, visions become goals, goals become deadlines and milestones. So if you have a dream, you need to make it a vision. You know, don't just dream it. Don't say, I wish. You know, say, you know what? I think I can make this happen. And then you analyze it. Once you analyze it and you see you can make it happen, it becomes that vision and you put the goals. And once you get set that, those goals, you set deadlines and milestones so that way you can stay on task. It's real simple, you know, and that's what I feel has helped me with my purpose and what I do in the transition is that I finally have a plan. So when I, you know, I call it doing donuts in the park. When you're sitting there and your wheels are turning and you're just going in circles, that's what I felt like when I first got out of the Marine Corps. I felt
And
like
that's
I was
okay.
literally,
And that's
it's
okay.
okay. Yes, it's okay. Seek out the people, like you said earlier, seek out those that you want to emulate. Seek out those that you want to be like. Seek out those that they're at a level that you want to get to. I have another phrase, right time, right place, right people. So you need to be in those places. You need to put yourself in those places. You need to be with those right people. And you'll know as you start to put yourselves in those places, you'll know who the right people are.
And let's talk about that. And I have a lot of veterans reaching out to me now asking for help and mentorship and guidance after listening to the podcast. And with that, any you may you being you looking for help or mentorship or leadership, you may feel, oh, I found this person that inspires me or I think could help me. That person, 99% of the time, will be very busy. However, those people know where they came from and the journey that they went through. And if you see or if I see someone that wants my help and they genuinely want it and they're all in and they're vested, that will trigger me to help them, right? Because I want
But
to
you
help
gotta,
those who want to be helped.
but you have to, you, I was just about to say that. You have to do the work. I'll give you an example. So I'll name a few people that are my business mentors. Miguel Aguilar, number one, right? CEO of Self Made Training Facility. Cale Owen, CEO of Gym Launch. Steve Kopshaw, Nutritional Coaching Institute Vice President. Jason Phillips, Nutritional Coaching Institute CEO. Billie Jean Shaw, CEO of Billie Jean's Marketing. These individuals, I can text them right now and say, hey, what do you think? And they're like, yeah, this, right? And they always got my back. But you want to know why they got my back? Because take, for instance, Cale Owen. I met Cale through, you know, another individual and, you know, CEO of a multi-million dollar company. He said to me, man, I love your drive. I love your ambition. If you can make it to St. Augustine, Florida on Friday, April, whatever, and this was last year, we're hosting a mastermind. I would love for you to sit in the class and just be a fly on the wall, be a sponge, right? I had to teach a business seminar, me myself, in Temecula, California, that Saturday, that very next day. Brett, I flew Thursday night on a red eye to Florida, my own dime, nobody paid for it, got in a vehicle from Orlando, or excuse me, Jacksonville, Florida, and drove 2 hours, an hour and 45 minutes, something like that, to St. Augustine. I got there at about, I think, 8 or 9 o'clock to the actual seminar. I stayed there till 4 o'clock, drove back to Jacksonville, hopped on a plane, got back to California at midnight to teach an 8 hour seminar at 8 o'clock the next morning. If you want it, you go get it. So, Cale told me you're crazy, number one. Number two is for you to do that, I got you back to the day is done. And to this day, a year later, I just seen him like 2 days ago, matter of fact, in San Diego at a conference. We are brothers. And anytime I need advice, he's going to give it to me. But he's who I'm trying to emulate as well.
No, I think you said something huge there. So if you got a vision, go for it, right? Failure's not an option. If you want
No.
something, do it. And that's just a mindset you have to be successful. You must, okay, this is something I don't have. I maybe don't have the skill set, but I got the desire, the drive, the want. You'll figure it out. You won't, because of who you are, you will learn. And I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter if you're an officer, enlisted, it doesn't matter your degree in. If you want to learn, that's all education is teaching yourself how to learn. And once you know how to learn, you can learn anything, right? So position yourself education. Use education to give yourself the skill set to learn whatever skill set you want. and then learn those skill sets once they become apparent what you need, or find good people that have those skill sets that that can get you from A to B faster, right? So what would you say to bring it all together?
I always tell everybody there's JJ Dinsai Buckle, right? Everybody remembers that, right? But there's also H at the end. And a lot of people don't. They're like, H, there's no H at the end. Yes, there is. In my book, there is, and it's humility. Be humble. If you're humble and you sit there and you say, I'm a sponge, teach me. People will teach you.
Yes.
You know, and they'll give you all the information you need. But if you don't take it and you don't humble yourself, then a lot of people are not going to want to help you. So I always stress. So to bring it all together,
please,
if you're having a hard time transitioning, you know, it's understandable. Everybody goes through it. Everybody. You're not on an island by yourself. Everybody goes through the hardship of transition. The difference between those that can transition into successful careers and those that don't is you only have that much time to whine, and then you need to come up with a solution. That's how I see my life.
Yep.
Hardships happen all the time. Today, my AC went down. It's humid as hell in here in Dallas. I could have flipped out, you know, but I didn't. I put some things into place. I got the AC guy coming in. Hey, we need to go get some fans. Let's go get some fans. We made it happen. I didn't sit there and woe is me because my AC is out.
Right. It's a mindset.
You know,
it's a mindset.
It's
so, Mark,
a
you
mindset.
Brought a lot of amazing points, brother. So if someone wants to reach out to you for some help or mentorship or join your cult or your club, how does someone reach out to you?
You can actually reach me at LinkedIn, Mark Rodriguez on LinkedIn, but you can also reach me at Just Rod Fit, JustRodFit on Instagram. You can also reach me at my gym, SMTF Dallas, on Instagram. But if you want to reach out to me via email, mark.selfmadeacademy, one word, at gmail.com, mark.selfmadeacademy@gmail.com. I'll help anybody out. Just hit me up.
Awesome, man. And the one part we talked about, but I want to finish on this, having a strong support network, your wife
yes.
and your family to help you through that, to be the guiding light, to kick you when you need to be kicked sometimes is huge. So having good people around to help you see your vision and then get off the damn couch to go get your vision is huge. So I appreciate everything you've done, man.
I want to say one more thing, if you
please.
Don't mind. Keep negative people out of your way. If surround yourself with positivity, because sometimes people, misery loves company. So if you're around other negative people, they're going to bring you down. Find the positive people out there, like myself and Brett. Find us and focus your efforts on us. And trust me, you can get the guiding light.
I'll throw it out there. The last thing, which I just went through with my group of veterans, which I'm going to ask you to join. We have a monthly masterclass Zoom call. It's all veterans doing good things. But one of the gentlemen had a tough time with all the banking stuff that's going on right now. Went down a rabbit hole. I'm like, dude, Alpha, Bravo, Papa, always be positive.
Yep.
Alpha, Bravo. There's always negative stuff, but there always will. But you always excuse. You can always be the victim because this is happening to me. Your life is what you make it. And you
Absolutely.
Choose to be a victim or you choose to drive the bus. I'd rather drive the bus and have the bus drive over me, brother. So this has been
Let's
great,
go.
Mark. I'm fired up. I feel good about this. So thanks so much. I'd probably love to have you on again if you're down for it.
I'm always, always down for it. Just all you got to do is reach out, let me know. I'll put in the schedule and we'll rock and roll.
All right, Mark. Good times. Out.